So I know it's Father's Day, and it's probably nice outside now, and you got places to go. So I have whittled this down. I worked on it during the first service. I whittled it down to it is now under an hour, and I just want to encourage you. You will all get. No, I can't wait to be done too. So just keeping it real. Don't worry. You'll get to where you need to. Okay, it's 12:29. Can I get 16 minutes? Is that okay? All right. On your mark, get set, talk. All right. Happy Father's Day. I've been sitting here getting texts from, I've got three daughters, but they'll text me at some point during the day. But no, I had one daughter that already hugged me. The other two will get there, I know. But I just getting sweet texts from people kind of around the country today that, hey, Pop, I love you. I'm already full. I was full after the first service, and my heart is full now. Just Father's Day is a special day. Webster, one of the definitions of Webster in Webster's dictionary is for father is the person from which we get our significance. Isn't that amazing? It's the one that we get our significance from. Now, without going into my dad's story, I lived with my mom from age 8 on because my dad, it was a tough situation, a POW during World War II after getting bombed out of a B-17, and he had to go through a whole lot. I didn't understand what he went through. I didn't understand his pain. I just felt the pain from him. And understanding brings mercy. And until I got to an age where I was old enough to understand what he went through as a person. See, for kids, parents aren't people. They're parents. I remember my mother said, gosh, you know what, I was like 12. She said, I can't wait for you to grow up. I said, what do you mean? You don't like me at 12? She goes, no, I love you at 12. But someday you'll understand that I'm actually a person. And so we don't understand. Jason's been singing it the whole time, that the song and the ache of his heart coming out through his music of a dad. I've been doing this. I hope I don't ruin my kids, because there was no college for fatherhood. You know, you might take a class, but a class does not make a degree. And so there's no way to learn except, you know, you build the ship at sea. And that's kind of what we do as men. We build it at sea, and we go, well, we're not sinking yet. All right, let's keep building. And so men, keep building. Keep doing it. You know, kids, understand. Do me a favor. Yeah, anybody here have a father? Okay, that's good. I know some of you actually raised your hand. Well, that's good. Do yourself a big favor and stop looking at the one thing your dad hasn't done and look at the thousand things he has done. Okay? A spirit of gratefulness in a household from a child will turn that household upside down. It really will. And fathers, don't pick on your kids, because you were one of them. And what happened is freedom for you and grace brought liberty for you. So be extensions of God's heart for freedom and grace, and bring liberty to your kids. All right, I won't preach at you, because that's the easiest thing to do, is tell people what they're not. So, how we see God, how we see God determines how we act. Well, that's true, but here's this more specific. How you see God as your father determines the level in which you receive love, security, acceptance, rest, comfort, provision, and healing. Let me say that again. All those things, how you perceive God as father to you, how you let God father you, will determine the level, not the fact that you get it, but the level of love, security, acceptance, rest, comfort, provision, and healing. So your view of God as father is so important. The difference a good father makes is incredible. Real fast story. There's two different men. One, Easy Eddie. Al Capone, y'all know Al Capone. Okay, good. Yeah, like he's all our good friend, Al Capone. If you don't know Al Capone, just ask an older person. Al Capone, he was the right-hand kind of lawyer for, or his right-hand lawyer was a guy named Easy Eddie. Easy Eddie was called Easy Eddie because everything he did looked easy. He was really good at getting Al Capone off. And so Easy Eddie had a son, and as the son began to grow, he began to realize Easy Eddie felt inside. He goes, my boy is going to look at me as Easy Eddie. He's going to look at me as Al Capone's person. I don't want that to happen. So as his little boy began to get older and older and older, Easy Eddie decided, I have got to change. So what happened was fatherhood took over. Something, he matured, something happened at a certain age, and a switch went off, and he said, I have to live for my boy now. And right now, if a father is the person they get their significance from, what is the significance that this boy is getting from me? And so he made a radical shift in his life, went to the feds, and then ratted on Al Capone. Now, ratting on Al Capone is not a good, you know, job move, you know. And so Al Capone ended up going to prison, and Easy Eddie kind of had to look over his shoulder, but he knew what he probably had done is written his death sentence. And sure enough, before Al Capone got out of prison, he made sure he was still in prison. 2 months before he gets out of prison, Easy Eddie is gunned down at a red light and is killed. But the thing that he had communicated to his son, that his son heard from him, was that I'm living so that you have a legacy, which is huge. Okay? Take that story. We'll just set it over here. Another story. This young boy named Butch O'Hare, he grows up and he becomes a naval aviator in World War II. And he's on the Eastern, he's on in the Japanese theater. Thank you. Theater. Appreciate that. Theater. Yeah, he's at the movie theater in Japan. And no. And his squadron goes out, and suddenly he looks at his gas tank, and he's only got half a tank of gas. So he lets the squad leader know it because they forgot to fill it. So he's forced to come back, and as he comes back, he's now the only American flyer with a whole squadron of Japanese planes that are coming down on the American ships. And he goes right into the middle of it, into the thick of it. He empties everything he has. He downs one plane after another. After a while, he's out of ammunition. He starts clipping the plane's wings and clipping the tails, and they go down. The Japanese squadron turns around and goes, oh my goodness, if the others come, we're dead. So they all turn and they go back, and he saves all these fleets. I don't know how many men were saved because of Butch O'Hare. They come back and they take his camera. He had a camera and it's mounted, and the film from the camera showed what he had done. So he became the first aviator, the Navy's first ace of World War II, and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor, which was amazing. He was killed a year later in another situation there. So his hometown of Chicago decided to do something wonderful. So they named an airport after him. His name was Butch O'Hare. So if you've ever flown into Chicago, you've flown into O'Hare Airport. Now, and so one of the things that he had been interviewed for, and I think you can find the interview, it's like a 1940 interview concerning him, where he talked about one of the most significant things is how my father put his life on the line and so honored me and loved me. And it's like, wow, here's a man whose father, you know, Easy Eddie did not have a good father. He went into a kind of a very horrible life. But Butch O'Hare, what he remembers from his father was a father that lived for him and died for him. What a difference it makes having a father that has significance and is able to create that influence. The interesting thing is that Easy Eddie was Butch O'Hare's father. Put it in your brain. Butch O'Hare didn't see the sleazy part of Easy Eddie. Butch O'Hare grew up seeing a man who stood up for himself to the point of death and decided, I will do the right thing for my son. I'll put my life on the line for my son. And Butch O'Hare, in his mind, what created the significance of him giving his life away was he had a father that was willing to give his life away for righteousness. That's an amazing thing. So So turn to Luke 15. I'm going to, in about 10 minutes, you're going to know Luke 15 better than you've ever known it in your life. You ready? On your mark, drink. First two verses. And I'll textualize this, by the way, Rick, I'm so thankful for Rick Pickens, because you will see this in a minute up here. The drawings are unbelievable. Actually, you wouldn't believe the drawings I gave him. The ones I gave him it wasn't pretty. Tax collectors and sinners came near to hear Jesus. Now, Jesus came for two different reasons. One is to lay his life down, okay, to give his life away for us. And the second thing was to reveal the Father. He has been with the Father forever, forever. We know our friends, and we can't wait for this buddy to meet this buddy, because we've known them 2 years or 10 years. Jesus has been with the Father forever. And for 30 years, he had to be quiet and go to synagogue and listen to people talk about his Father in an incorrect way, week after week after week after week. Can you imagine that? Think about it. You're sitting there, and he's talking about your Father. Oh, he's not like that. He's good. Father, can I talk about you now? No, wait 12 more years. Ah! And he has to sit there, and finally he gets a chance to talk about his dad. He goes, I'm going to take it. So he waits for the moment, and he looks over and goes, oh, there's all these tax collectors and sinners. There you are. And the word for sinner is harlot. So a bunch of prostitutes and tax collectors. Sorry, I'm facing you guys, but that's the way. And over here, verse 2, and all the scribes and Pharisees came to complain. I don't know which one I'm more sorry for. So we have two, and Jesus looks out and goes, oh, sinners and self-righteous. I want to talk about my Father. And he does three stories. It's kind of one parable, but he does three stories. And here's the first one. What man has 100 sheep, if one of them gets lost, he makes sure the 99 are safe, and he goes out into the wilderness. He searches for the one that was lost. And I just look at that, and I just think the Pharisees are like, yeah, let me ask. I know exactly what he did when that sheep got found. And the tax collectors and sinners, they know this story's about them. Yeah, I was in the house of God, and I grew up, and I'm a tax collector. And I grew up, and I'm a prostitute, and I'm a sinner, and this is terrible. And I grew up, and I know God, but I just walked away from him. And they're over here, and they say, I know, I'm lost. And these guys are over here, scribes and Pharisees are over here, and they're going, yep, they're lost. And he goes, well, I can see Pharisee Billy Bob. So he went out and he beat the sheep and he broke its leg so it'll never walk again. Right? He won't run away? No, actually. He went out and he put his back in the thorns and he got his back bloodied for the sheep. And he brought the sheep to himself and put it over his shoulders and hugged him and put his little legs against his heart. And the tax collectors and sinners are going, really? He would do that for me? He goes, yeah. And then they partied. He came home and they had a party, and they're going like, we know how to party. And the scribes and Pharisees can't believe it. And the second story is there's a coin that gets lost in the house, and the woman searches and searches, and she's got to light a lamp and sweep the house, which means she's got, the only way she can find this precious thing that she has in her house is to light a lamp, to have revelation of something new, to sweep the house, to get rid of all the old thinking, and then she can search for it. It's a lot harder to find something sometimes that's in the house than something that you know has been lost outside. And they get to a third story, and then we have two sons. We have a son that's lost, and we have an older son that's kind of lost, isn't he? He says in the end of the story, you know, the father says, looks at him and goes, you've never known me. Can you imagine living in the same household, you've never known me? What did he know about him? He saw him as his boss. He had a professional relationship. Oh, may we never have a professional. It's church today. I'm a professional Christian. Today is my day. Let's go, family. Come on, let's go to church. It's the day we love God together. Get in the stupid car. Hi, how are you? Good. How are you? Great. Oh, my loving family. Smile. Professionals. We do it well. We know how to do this thing. Poor Rick. I haven't gone anywhere near. Rick, what do we got? Where are we? What do we got? Oh, let's wait a minute. Oh, I feel like Yoda. Okay. There we go. All right, Rick, go to the last one, would you? So here we've got the house of God. Here's what Jesus is trying to do. He's coming down. He's looking at out who he's going to. I want to talk about my Father. I want to tell everyone how great my Father is. How do I do that? I've got people in front of me who are the worst of the worst sinners. And I've got people in front of me who are the most hypocritical, pharisaical hearts that ever were. We have the furthest on one end and the furthest on the other end. So this is what he does. He gathers them all together and says, here you are. You're in this house. Okay, the first story is the lost sheep. And the lost sheep is in the house of God. They, all the tax collectors, Jewish, the sinners, harlots, they grew up knowing about God and hearing his word. But how did they get lost? They got lost by leaving the house. And then we have a lost coin. The lost coin's in the house. What happens when you're in the house and you get lost? Well, where did you get lost? You lost in the house. The only way to find yourself is light a lamp. You need revelation of who this God is. And you need to get out all the old ways of thinking. And then we have a younger brother. The younger brother, he's in the house. He's growing up in the house. He sees his father all the time. But where does he go? The younger brother gets lost by leaving the house. Then we have an older brother. What happens? The older brother, you've never known me. So in other words, he is lost where? He's lost in the house. But who's the story for? Story's for the scribes and Pharisees, and the story's for the tax collectors and sinners. So we've got tax collectors and sinners. They're a part of the house of God their whole life until they found something else that's a lesser lover, and they go where? They go outside the house. And then we've got the scribes and Pharisees that are in the house, but they've never known who God really is. And where do they get lost? In the house. That's Luke 15. Luke 15 is this. Jesus looks out and he looks out at humanity and goes, you know what? If you don't know me, I don't care where you are, you're lost. I don't care how you see me as Father, God. If you don't know what I'm really like, if I'm a professional to you, I'll just tell you here this morning, if God is a professional to you, if Christianity is your profession, then your soul, I'm not saying is lost in eternity, but it's losing life. We're lost if we see him as our boss. We're lost if we see him as anything less than a father who will run to us. And you know what? In the story, it says the father ran to him. When he saw his younger son coming back, it says he ran to him. Now, women ran, children ran, servants ran. The only time a man would run, he would gird up his loins, expose his knees, men weren't supposed to expose their knees. He gird up his loins, and then he would run. And men would do that to go to war only. The only time a man would expose his knees and run would be to go to war. And he pulls that up, exposes his knees, and runs to his son. And the son, knowing the culture, would go, oh my gosh, my father is coming to kill me. That's what he'd think. He girded up his loins and is running. And the only time a man runs is to go to war. And the son chooses, I will stay and be killed by my father. I'd rather do that than go back and have that pig slap. Okay, Dad, do with me what you want to do. And his dad runs to him, and scripture says he fell on his neck and kissed him. And kissed him and kissed him. That is a present progressive verb. It means he kissed and 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 he kissed. I kiss away this harlot. I kiss away this drunkenness. I kiss away this night of gambling. I kiss away the debauchery. I kiss away one thing after another until his son probably went, Dad, stop it. But what he didn't know is his father was going to war. He went to war against shame. He went to war against guilt. He went to war against everything that oppressed his son's ability to know who his father was. And he does the same for you. So this morning, short and sweet, may it be the happiest Father's Day, because may the revelation of his affection hit your heart in a new way. I don't care if you feel like your life has been lost outside. If you're here this morning and you're going, I just have not been connected, he'll run to you. He wants to kiss you. I don't care if you come and you feel like you're the most hypocritical believer that's on the face of the earth. He just wants to say, I want to invite you into the party. It's okay to party. I've got a better way to do it. Why don't you come in? Do me a favor. Let's stand. Well, that was 18 and not 15. Forgive me. Put your hand on your heart, would you? Lord, I just thank you for every person in here. I thank you as a father. You are a father to the fatherless. You're the defender of widows. You pity your children, it says in Psalm 103, which just means you see our weakness and want to be strong in it. So, Lord, today we want to see your strength. Sometimes the enemy whispers to us, and all we see is our weakness. But you want to run to us and lavish us with kisses and remove every lie and kiss away every thought that's not from you. So, Lord, we just want to receive you this morning as that good, good Father. Light a lamp. Show us. Let us sweep away every false idea we have of you. Let us find that precious coin that belongs to us from you. And let us, particularly fathers in this room, let us be a doorway for sons and daughters to find you, to know your heart, because they know our hearts. We honor you. We love you today. Be glorified in all our actions, activities. And Lord, if there are people that, if there are fathers that we need to call and honor and find ways, I just ask for the gift of the right words to express love and appreciation to the fathers who really need to hear it. Thank you. Thank you that you're good all the time. We bless your name today. And Lord, we say to you, Happy Father's Day, Papa. Enjoy it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need someone just to kind of pray any of that through, we want to invite you up. If you need healing, I've just seen over and over again God do wonderful things here with simple prayers to do deep healings. So the altar's available. Otherwise, go enjoy this day. If you're a dad, soak it up. Love it. And if you can, express to your dad how grateful you are to who he is. God bless you. Have a great day.